This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم فملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأتم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, in today's khutbah, I'd like to talk about a question that I've been asked many, many times, and I think it's a great time to talk about this subject because we are now in the month of Ramadan, about which Allah Azza wa Jal has told us a few key things. And one of those things is an indication that this is a month of a lot of dua. So in the few ayat that Allah has given us about Ramadan, Allah did mention in those ayat, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That when my servant, my slave asks you about me, then I am, without a doubt, I am near. I respond to the call of the one who calls, meaning the prayer of the one who prays to me, the asker, the one who asks of me. I'll wait for you to turn your phone off. Okay. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. So that I am near, I respond to the call of the one who calls whenever they may call. إِذَا دَعَانْ, whenever they may call me. So that indicates that this is a month of lots and lots of dua to Allah. And it's interesting that as I travel, especially over the last year, one of the most common questions I received, one way or another, was the same question, and it always had to do with dua. So I'm going to explain the question to you first, and then we'll try to wrap our minds around some things about the answer. So the question is something like this. I trust Allah, I believe in Allah, I pray to Allah, I ask Allah for something, and I've been asking for a long, long, long time for the same dua over and over again, and I just don't seem to get that prayer answered. Like Allah doesn't seem to answer that prayer. On the one hand, I find in the tradition that there's narrations like, even if you ask for a shoelace, ask Allah, right? So I'm not asking for much from the kingdom of Allah. I'm asking for something very little, and I keep on making dua for it, and it's simply not getting answered. So what is Allah telling me? Is He telling me to give up on my prayer? Is He telling me to stop asking for that thing? Or is it that just some du'as just don't get answered? How do I make sense of this when we hear Allah say that He hears every prayer and He's just not answering my prayer? So what am I supposed to think? So a few things about that I want to start off with. The first of them is humility. And I'm not saying that the people who ask this question lack humility, but I and you, all of us, need a reminder in certain things. Who exactly are we asking? We're asking Allah Azza wa Jal. And when we ask Allah, we are asking the King of all kings, and we are the lowest before Him. We are the ibad, we are the slaves, and He is the ultimate King. We have to have a humility in the way that we ask, and actually that humility goes further than any other king that one might ask. In the old times, people would go to the king and beg them for food, or beg them for their land to be released, or all those kinds of things, right? So the people who go and make the request, they know what they want. Like, that's a very common thing to say, I know what I want. But actually the humility to Allah is, it requires a step further that you don't even require for anyone else. It's only with Allah. I have to admit that I don't even truly know what I want. I feel that I know what I want, but actually do I truly know what it is that I want? No. Allah teaches this lesson in humility multiple times. For example, Allah says, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. The human being keeps on asking for something harmful, while the prayer he's making is actually for something good. Meaning in his mind, in the person's mind, they're actually asking for something good, not realizing that that one good in their mind may lead to a lot of bad. And when you balance those two things out, it's going to be much worse than what it is now. You don't even realize why do human beings do this? Allah says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. It's because human beings are extremely expedited. They rush into things. They want things to happen very, very, very quickly. I have something in my mind. I'm going through a problem right now. If I'm going through a problem right now, the only thing on my mind is to solve this problem. I'm not thinking beyond that. It's like there's a wall in front of me and I can't think past it. So the only thing I think about is, Ya Allah, solve this problem, solve it in this way. That's it. If you just solve this one problem for me, everything's going to be okay. And you don't know that if you remove that one brick, what other flood is coming ahead. You don't see that because you and I don't have the ability to see that. And Allah sees that. Allah sees the bigger picture that you and I aren't able to see. So the first thing, not that you shouldn't ask for things, but there are some realizations that you and I have to have. And so the first one of them is humility. That I have to be humble to the fact that maybe I'm asking for something, and maybe this isn't the time for this prayer to be answered. Allah will decide when this prayer will be answered. I refer to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam a lot, but it's good to take some lessons in this discussion from that. Like Yaqub alayhi salam, who wants his son to be reunited with him. He wants that to happen, but Allah will decide when that's going to happen. It could happen in a few hours, like in the case of the story of Musa alayhi salam. The mother lost her child. She put the baby in the basket, and the basket is a river that's going down the river, and it's ending up in the Pharaoh's palace. She doesn't even know that. But Allah decides that she should be reunited with her baby in a few hours. And in the same vein, Yusuf alayhi salam is separated from his father, and he's put inside of a well. A well is actually much more stationary than a river. And yet he's not going to be reunited with his son for many, many decades. There's going to be several years before he sees. And that all of that is part of the wisdom of Allah. When was it best for this family to be reunited? So sometimes we have our own plans. We have our own wishes. Of course, a father wants that he should be reunited with his beloved child immediately. Why wouldn't he wish that? Why wouldn't he pray for that? But Allah has a certain plan in his wisdom that he's put in place. So the first recognition is that of humility, and a couple of other places in the Quran remind us of that. Like, for example, Allah Azza wa Jal says that عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It may well be that you really like something, but it's bad for you. And it may well be that you really don't like something, but it's good for you. And it's Allah, in fact, He knows, and you're the ones who don't know. That's what Allah says. Similarly, He says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. It could be that you don't like something, and Allah has put a lot of good in it. So over and over again, Allah is comparing what I like with what Allah knows. Right? I like something, and when I like something, I get so confident, I know this is good for me. No, you feel this is good for you. I feel it's good for me is not the same as I know it's good for me. They're two separate things, and Allah separates those two things. That's a very difficult lesson to internalize, because, you know, when I have my perspective, it becomes my reality, what is, you know, commonly referred to nowadays as my truth. But we're constantly reminded to humble ourselves, even in terms of what it is that we like. Now, let's take this a step further. In the famous dua of istikhara, which many people are familiar with, a part of this dua is, in kunta ta'lamu, and if you're turning to Allah and you're saying to Him, if you happen to know, anna hadha al-amra sharrun fi dini, that this thing that I'm asking for is bad for me in my religion, wa ma'ashi, and in my livelihood, in my life, wa aqibati, and in my wa aqibati amri, and in the final outcome of my life, of my situation, meaning even though it's good for me right now, this might lead to much bigger problems down the road. If that's the case, then he says, the prayer teaches me to say, fasrifhu anni wasrifni anhu, then take it away from me and take me away from it. There's two parts to that dua. Take it away from me, meaning don't answer my prayer. Don't let me have it. And there's a humility in this dua. I don't actually know if this is good for me or not. So Ya Allah, You know better. And if this isn't good for me, Ya Allah, take this away. Don't let it happen. And not only don't let it happen, get my heart away from thinking about, yeah, I wish I had it, I wish I had it, I wish I had it. Just get my heart away from it. You're even asking Allah to guide your desire. You're asking Allah to guide what it is that you want. Ya Allah, make me stop wanting this. It's not good for me. So this is the starting point of today's conversation. The starting point is humility. And when I ask Allah for something, I have to have that humility. But let's take another step. Maybe even then, I persist in making some kind of dua. There are people like, for example, the case of Asiya radiallahu anha, right? Asiya is living with Fir'aun. She's literally living with Fir'aun. Some people say, I'm living with Fir'aun. She gets to say that literally, right? So she's actually living with Fir'aun. And she wants to get away from Fir'aun, and she can't. She can't get away from him, because it's not like she can call the police. He owns the police. It's not like she can report him to the government. He is the government. It's not like she can run away into the country. He owns the country. She's got nowhere to go. So when she says, وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ, rescue me from the Pharaoh and rescue me from the things that he does, get me away from him, she's praying desperately for something that is immediately her need. She's suffering and she wants relief from her suffering. And many of us, you and I, many a times our prayers are about finding some kind of relief from some kind of suffering, right? That there's relief from suffering that we're asking for. And we know in her dua, what did she combine that with? وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. But right before that, she said, إِبْنِ لِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Nobody actually made this prayer in the Quran except her. It's a unique prayer. My master, build me a home in Jannah. She says, build me a home in Jannah and rescue me from the Pharaoh. It's really interesting, because it's almost as though she realized there is no building in this world that is safe for me. And he owns, I mean, we know one thing about the Pharaoh owns the most remarkable building structures, right? And people would look at those palaces and say, I wish I could live there. And this woman lives in one of those palaces, and all she wishes for is a different kind of building. She wants the building in Jannah. Ibni li baytan fil Jannah. وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. So there's a realization that she may be, even though Allah can do the impossible, but she's also realizing it may not be possible. Allah's wisdom may not allow me to escape this castle. Ya Allah, at least replace this with a better castle for me. And don't, because I'm in his household. The other problem with her is she's living in his house. So when the Fir'aun makes a decision, he makes a decision to kill children, for example. He makes a decision to oppress or enslave people. Then because she's part of that family, you would consider her complicit, like she has a part in that too. She shares in the evil because she's in the household of the king. And so she's not just asking to be rescued from the abuse of Fir'aun, but she's also asking that his actions should not affect her relationship with Allah. Like she has no control over what he does. Ya Allah, rescue me from his actions, because his actions are going to get him in a lot of trouble on Judgment Day. I don't want anything to do with his actions on Judgment Day. I'm cutting myself off, at least spiritually, if I cannot cut myself off emotionally or cut myself off physically. So the second thing we learn here is sometimes we may find ourselves in a situation that is impossible to escape. You might find yourself stuck with the Fir'aun. It might happen, and there's no way for you to escape. Then we find inspiration from the people who were stuck in those kinds of situations. What did they ask Allah? You know, there are billions of people in the history of the world who've made trillions and trillions and trillions of du'as, and Allah chooses some du'as to become part of the Quran. Very few, just a handful. So each one of those du'as is very, very important. And each one of those du'as represents solutions for millions and millions of people. So I have to identify, if I'm stuck in that situation, what du'a might inspire me? Where might I find guidance? But then we have to take yet another step. And the other step is stubbornness. Stubbornness. So what happens with human beings, all of us, is that, you know, because the first problem was lack of humility. Well, when we lack enough humility to not know, that to accept that I don't really know, then what happens is I know exactly what I want. For example, some woman says, I just need to marry that man. That's it. That's all I want, Ya Allah. That man is who I want to marry. Or some guy says, I just want to marry that woman. That's all I want, Ya Allah. I don't ask you for anything else. This is what I want. Or somebody says, you know, I just want, Ya Allah, just give me a son. You know, I already have 7 daughters. I just need one son. Just give me a son. And that's all I want. I know what I want. Just give me a son. Right? So you have people that say, I'm just sure about exactly what I want. Right? This is exactly the job I want. This is exactly the spouse I want. This is exactly the house I want. This is exactly the child I want, etc. Right? Or even if you have a child, Ya Allah, I need to make my child a hafiz of the Quran. That's it. I just need to make him a hafiz. That's it. Ya Allah, this is all I want. Or I want them to become a doctor. This is all I want. So we have this desire, this wish, and now we are stuck in it. We are making dua for it. We are constantly pushing towards it in every single prayer. And when that's not happening, you wanted your child to become a doctor, and astaghfirullah, he likes math and he hates biology, and he ended up becoming a PhD in calculus and becoming an engineer or becoming a mathematician. And you're like, how do I even pray to Allah now? Because Allah, I made so much dua. I even went to Umrah. I cried at the Kaaba for him to become a cardiologist. And the only thing he's given me is a heart attack, so I have to go see a cardiologist. So, well, my prayers didn't get answered. Allah didn't answer my prayers. This is where we become stubborn. We want reality to be molded according to our wishes. Now, I'm not talking about relief. I've already talked about relief. I'm not talking about getting out of a bad situation. Now, I'm talking about something else, something that I want. Not something that I need, something that I want. And when I want something and I keep asking Allah for it, I keep asking Allah for it, and I want Allah to change reality to fit what I want, then Allah responds to this and He says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا بِأَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Reality is not based on your wishful thinking, and it's not based on the wishful thinking of the people of the book before you. I often reference that I went to a Joel Osteen program here a couple of Christmases ago. Joel Osteen, some of you might know who that is. He had a Christmas special at the American Airlines Stadium. And I wanted to see what that's about. So I got a ticket and I went to see Joel Osteen perform and preach on Christmas Eve. And when he went and preached on Christmas Eve, all he was promising people was, this year, everything's going to work out. The cancer is going to go away. You're going to get that new job. You're going to get that new, Jesus is going to solve all your problems. He's going to take care of everybody. And everybody's like, yes, sir. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And they're all so happy that God is going to, for them, who God is going to answer all their prayers, everything they wished for. This is an ancient problem that I want to highlight and bring to your attention. In ancient societies, people corrupted the original religion that Allah revealed through prophets, and they turned it into something else. I like to call it consumer religion. Just so you can understand what I mean by that. Consumer religion means I'm going to go up 10,000 steps on top of a Buddhist temple, and I'm going to take some flowers or some milk or something, and I'm going to put it in front of the statue. I'm going to pray for a new house, or the farm should be okay, or I don't get robbed this year or whatever. I take my wish all the way up to the statue, and I'm going to give this God something, and he's going to give me what I wish. Basically, it was a transaction. You do the prayer, the God gives you what you wish. So, you know, you need the prayer to happen. You pray to the rain God, he'll make the rain happen. You pray to so it's constantly an exchange. I ask God, God gives me. Or I ask the gods, and the gods give me, right? So it's constantly a series of wishes that we get. Now, even though in our religion, we can ask for things in this life, like Asiya was asking for relief, or Zakariya alayhi salam was asking for a child, right? We're asking for things. If you actually study the overall picture of all the du'as in the Quran, if you look at all of them, we're always tying our prayers in this life to something that's coming in the next life. It's never separate. It's always connected in some way. We don't see this life as separate from the next life. Right now we're in dunya, later on we're going to deal with the akhirah. Nope. Everything in dunya is immediately, right now, connected to the akhirah. Immediately. So in all of my du'as, even when Zakariya alayhi salam, for example, asked for a child, he said, dhurriyatan tayyibatan. Dhurriyatan tayyibatan. Give me a good child. Why is he asking for a good child? Because a good child will carry on doing good even after he's gone, benefiting him in the akhirah, right? وَاجْعَلِّ مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ وَاجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَّا. He's constantly asking for something spiritual, something that will benefit in the next life while benefiting in this life. The most explicit dua in the Quran, where you and I ask for something in this life, is actually رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي... That's the most explicit dua. And even then, immediately, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Give us the most beautiful in this life and the most beautiful in the next life. And they're both fused together. Now, finally, when I was making reference to stubbornness, I want to just highlight one quick thing. Now, we're not a consumer religion. It's not like if Allah, I prayed so much that I should get 100 on the exam, or at least, yeah, Allah, just let me pass this exam. Let me just get a 65. Or I found out in Canada, you have to get a 50 to pass. So let me just get a 50 in Canada. Let me get a 65 in America. Let me pass at least. And then you get a 64. Or in Canada, you get a 49. You're like, Allah didn't answer my dua. That's it. I'm going to stop praying. I prayed so much and it didn't happen. What's the point of prayer? Yeah, if your religion was a consumer religion where you do the prayer, God's the one who gives you. If he stops giving you according to your terms, then you stop praying according to his terms. Makes sense? That's like a business deal. But our religion is not a consumer religion. Our religion came to teach us that we have been created by someone who put us here for a purpose, and we're going to go back to him. We're going to go back. So this is just a small episode of my life. There's a much bigger episode coming. And the ups and downs of this episode, these episodes in this life, I cannot allow them to ruin my relationship with him. Because that relationship is way more important than anything that's happening in this life. Way more important. That's the message of this religion. Because of that message, we don't become a consumer religion. But unfortunately, what's happened to us? We've essentially become a consumer religion. Most of our du'as are about things in this life. Most of our du'as. People call every masjid. Is tonight the 27th? Is tonight the 20th? Can you tell us which night the 27th is? Why are they? Because they're going to ask for forgiveness on the 27th. They're going to ask for guidance on the 27th. They're going to make tawbah on the 27th. They're going to do more ibadah on the 27th to please Allah. Or is it going to be, Ya Allah, just let me pay off the house. Ya Allah, let me just get my daughter married. Ya Allah, let me just get this job. Ya Allah, it's always stuff in this world. It's always stuff in this world. So in a very subtle way, we have now started to disconnect our needs, our wants of this life from what we need in the next life. And we're slowly, without realizing it, becoming a consumer religion. And it's a scary thing to realize. And I wanted this to be the opening of our month of Ramadan, because this Quran came to actually connect us to Allah. And the fundamental way we connect to Allah is dua. The fundamental way. The first surah is a dua. Ihdina siratal mustaqim is a dua. and the kind of dua it is should make us realize what kinds of du'as are we supposed to be making. Finally, on stubbornness, I keep digressing from it. I'll end with this. Is the notion of resilience or adaptability. It's a big word, but I'll make it easy. Look, you wanted your business to succeed. You made lots of dua for the business to succeed. It flopped. It didn't work. Now you have two choices. You could sit and say, Ya Allah, I made so much dua. You didn't let it happen. What can I do? I don't even make dua anymore. I don't know if why even bother. Or you realize that these obstacles that Allah created was for you to realize this is not the way. You need to try something else. And when you fail at that, you need to try something else. And when you fail at that, you need to try something else. You need to adapt to changing realities. Allah will put us in different realities and the solution will not always be the same. You know, I'm reminded of like Dhul-Qarnayn, who is in Surah Al-Kahf, he travels and he makes multiple stops, right? And in one stop, he does nothing. He leaves them alone, kathalika. He just leaves them as they were. In another place, he enforces the law. He says, if people do bad, I'm going to punish them. And if people do good, then I will say good word to them. And in his third stop, his final stop, there's a huge band of evildoers coming. The Ya'juj and Ma'juj are coming. You would think he has a choice. He's already done two different things. One, he imposed the law. Two, he did nothing. Three, he says, no, I'm just going to build a wall, keep them on the other side. He didn't do A or B, he did C. What is that? What is that? Every situation requires a different solution. You don't have the same solution for every situation. He has to look at his resources, he has to look at the reality on the ground and make a decision. And maybe the thing you really want and the thing that I really want, you're not looking at the reality of the situation. You're not practical. Make dua, of course, make dua for all kinds of things. But if you're sitting there making dua, Ya Allah, I'm 4'6", please make me 5'5" by tomorrow morning. Then you're not looking at the reality. Then you don't come back and say, well, you can ask Allah for anything, so that's what I want to ask. Then you have a psychological disorder, not just a spiritual disorder, right? So we have to be, we ask Allah. We ask Allah within confines, within guidance, while at the same time using common sense. While at the same time using common sense. And I know I should be concluding this, but I'll take two more minutes. What I'm also reminded of is acceptance. You know, I met a doctor that really just changed my perspective so much. I met him in Denmark. He's a Muslim doctor. He's a cancer specialist. And he told me that, you know, because most people in Europe, they're not religious. Like they don't even believe in God much anymore. They just believe in nature, right? So some cancer patient will come to him. They tell him, you have a week, maybe 2 weeks left, right? Do you want to meet with your family? Do you want to stay in the hospital? Yeah, you know, Lord, take me off of dialysis. I'm going to go anyway. Let me just enjoy my few last moments with my family. That's what they'll tell him, right? I just want to go in peace. I lived a good life. I want to go in peace. Okay, this is the atheist. This is the one who doesn't believe in Allah. Just says, I'm going to go back to nature. I've been feeding from the earth. Now I can feed the earth. This is their hippie philosophy. Great. Then he gets a Muslim family. Somebody's got cancer. They're on the verge of death. Everybody's making dua. And they're making dua and they're making dua. And the person passes. When the person passes, or they're on the verge of... No, put him on a machine. Keep him on the machine. Keep them alive. Allah will answer my... The miracle will happen. We cannot accept this death. We cannot let that happen. This cannot be. This cannot be. This cannot be. Like the one who doesn't believe in Allah has accepted the reality of death. And the people who supposedly believe in Allah are having so much of a difficulty coping with death and making dua that Allah can somehow move death away. Remove death from the equation. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. In fact, we even make a dua for death in the Quran. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Take us away along with good people. Meaning make it a good death. Make it a death that is actually among good people. So I'm not saying don't make dua for those that are sick. Of course you should. Of course you should. But there's also an acceptance of Allah's decree. And then you don't sit there and say, how come Allah didn't answer my dua? How come my family member, my beloved, couldn't live forever? Couldn't live longer than I should. Or anybody, you know, we don't decide, you know, نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا بَيْنَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ. We're the ones who calculated death among all of you. There's a calculation Allah made of who will die, when they will die, how they will die. What, you know, all of that's been calculated already, and nobody will win that race. Allah says, "Nahnu bi ma nahnu bi masbuqin." Nobody will get ahead. Nobody will leave Allah behind and beat that timer. Nobody. So then when we make these du'as, and then those du'as don't get answered, that go against the qadr of Allah, and then we lose faith. How could Allah do this? Why did Allah do this? How could we? And we have a hard time accepting it. Then we are forgetting who Allah is. Allah, my relationship with Allah is not just someone who answers my du'as. My relationship with Allah is much, that's one piece of it. My relationship with Allah is the master who made me, who owns all wisdom, and under whose wisdom I will always trust in. And in fact, even when He doesn't answer my du'a the way that I want it to, I trust that He loves me and protects me and cares for me much more than I can care for myself. So if He's not answering this du'a, it's out of love for me. If He's not doing it for me, it's out of, I trust Him. I know my feelings, but I trust His wisdom a lot more than I know I trust my feelings. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us humble in our dua to Allah, sincere in our dua to Allah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give khair to all of us through our du'as and accept them as sincere worship to Him. And may Allah Azza wa Jal not let and even an ounce of our trust and our reliance in Allah be questioned when our du'as don't go the way that we were hoping. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله